Good morning. Good morning. It's good to be here. Still in recovery mode. I'm not sure that when that will happen, if it ever happens after camp. It is exhausting couple weeks leading up to it, but it was a good week. We had a phenomenal week. God moved in that place on Monday evening and did not move out all week long, and we were thankful for that. I've had things all week long sent to me about people thanking for camp and so many different things, and I just give it all to God and just thank Him for what He did last week during outdoorsman camp. But I had a preacher friend of mine, and he made this announcement. He said, "You cannot articulate what took place at outdoorsman camp, and you can't, but you know, it was bathed in prayer. It was bathed in prayer." That's what's missing in so many of our church services anymore. We get so busy, and we're consumed with just getting ready and getting to church and getting the kids ready. And so many of us are guilty. And I know, I'll testify to it. I'm guilty of it many times. You're getting up, you're getting things ready, and you just didn't spend the time in prayer. But Brother Nathan, on Sunday night after church, after we left here, Jason and I went over, and my brother-in-law was there with some of his boys, and I'm saying all this because I'm laying a little bit of a foundation where we're going this morning, but you can turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 12. But I went over, and we were going to unload a bunch of stuff for camp, and my brother-in-law was there, and he had come up early, and I think he was here on Sunday morning, and had a group of boys with him. We were going to unload some things to get ready, and we began just to talk about some things to prepare for the week. And I told my brother-in-law, I said, "I'll be honest with you, we have so many guys here this year that are going to be here early." And I had a staff, what I would call one of my staff men, he had just pulled in, was there, and I said, "What I really want to do is go over to the tent and just gather around the altar there, and I'd like to pray for this week."
Amen.
And when we left, Nathan, my son said, "God, did you feel Him move in?" Folks, if you haven't experienced that indwelling presence of God, you're missing something. Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 12. We're starting verse 1. Going to read some verses. I don't expect to be long here this morning, by no means. I did tell my wife on the way down, I said, the thing about Father's Day is, you know, on Mother's Day, we take the mothers out to eat, or we cook dinner for them, or do those things. On Father's Day, we grill for them. So on Father's Day, there's no worrying about the roast burning. So we have no time limit today because we don't have to worry about it because the stuff's not on the grill yet. Right, Brother Morris? Just kidding. I've been here enough times, you know, very rarely will I run over on a time. But an interesting story that we lead into in Acts chapter 12. And we'll read a few of the verses and go down through here. And the Bible says in verse 1, "Now about the time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him and wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. And when they were past the first and second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which openeth to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectations of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. Excuse me. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, it is his angel. But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. And I want to speak to you on this thought this morning, the power of a praying church, the power of a praying church. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. I thank you for these dear people that have come out and been faithful here this morning. I thank you for this church and the pastor and God, the faithfulness of it, and God, they're being a lighthouse to this community and their surrounding areas for so many years, and God, I'm thankful for what they do. God, I pray that this morning, Lord, that this short Sunday school message would be something, God, that would just encourage the people to realize that prayer is what unleashes God's power. And God, I pray that you would just help us here this morning. God, clear out my heart, my mind, God, of anything that would be of me. Use me as a vessel, God, today that would be overflowing with you. And God, I pray that each and every person that's here today would take something from this message and apply it in their lives. And God, that they could better serve you and God, have a closer relationship and live in such a way to bring you praise and glory. And God, we thank you for all that you're about to do in Christ's name. Amen. After Paul was... We understand that Paul was Saul, and we understand that story, but after Paul was converted, there was some peace brought to the church. Because we understand, if we back up, it says in the scriptures that Saul had created havoc with the church. He was going from house to house, door to door, and he was taking in Christians and casting them into prison. And he was he created quite a controversy between the people. But we also know that God used Saul, which is Paul, he used him to scatter the disciples to actually go and do what he commanded them to do. When Christ left them, he said that they were to go into, you know, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, into the uttermost part of the world, but they stayed in Jerusalem. And we understand that God used them, and they scattered and went abroad and started to reach people in the outer parts. But we know the story of Saul. When he meets Christ on the road to Damascus, he is converted to a Christian, and now Paul was out there reaching so many people. But we find here in chapter 12 that Herod has James arrested and kills James with the sword, and that he saw that it brought this happiness to the Jews to see one of the disciples be persecuted. So he goes forth and he arrests Peter. And he throws Peter in prison, and because of the things that were about to take event, he has Peter guarded by four quaternions of soldiers. Now we have to understand, this was 16 soldiers that were surrounded around Peter here. And I think Harold knew the first story of how Peter escaped from prison. There they were, and next thing you know, they're outside of the prison and they're gone. And I think this time he was doing everything he could, Max, to keep Peter in prison. And he has them there, and we see the story that the people hear of Peter's fate. Peter's going to be executed. They're going to kill Peter after this certain period of time. And we arrive to the night before Peter was going to be executed. And we find Peter sleeping in a cell. And we find that the church had gathered together in Mary's house to make prayer and intercession for Peter. And we understand the story that as they go there and they're knocking on the door, the people are like, yeah, it can't be Peter. There's no way it could be Peter. And you know, folks, that's how we are many times, Brother Morris. We pray because we're supposed to pray, but not really expecting God to do something. And I think that's one of the things this year, Max, with Outdoorsman Camp was, over the years, I've had people just say about how God uses, and Brother Nathan, I've always gave the credit right back to God and God's people, because there's several churches that and they have people make commitments to pray and fast for each service. They will ask their people, they will say, who will pray for Monday night? And they take volunteers, because here's the thing, Brother Morris, if you make a commitment, the Holy Spirit will speak to you to keep that commitment. And let's face it, if we want to see God do something, the Bible says that none of these things can be done but by what? Prayer and fasting, right? When we skip meals, we're showing God that we're serious and that we really desire for Him to do something, and we're sacrificing that. And you know what, folks? It's not really asking a whole lot to skip a meal. And I know I can afford to skip many meals. But the fact of the matter is, we don't skip meals for a diet. Well, I mean, some of us probably need to do that more often. But when we pray and we fast, it is to show God that we're serious, that we want to see the answers of His prayer. And all throughout the Bible, God shows us that He wants us to ask Him for things. And all through the Bible, we see times and situations where God was just trying to show Himself real. He allowed a situation to come to see if we would trust Him and proclaim those things. And you know, over the years, we've seen so many answers with prayers, but this, I began to say this year at camp, you know, I knew that I was going to do some of the prayer and fasting myself, because it's hard for me to ask you to pray and fast when I won't do that myself, seriously. But in the same token, when the big tent went up this year, I was really, really humbled. I mean, Brother Young, we started in 2017 with 2 10-foot easy ups. That's what we had. The preacher stood under one. The boys sat under the other. When I look at pictures, I say, what was I thinking? But all I was doing was stepping out in faith and doing the best job I could to do what God had given me a vision to do, and that was to invest in some young men, the future leaders, the future pastors, evangelists, missionaries, laymen in their church, deacons, just to try to encourage some young men to stick it out, to get away from the video games, get away from the world, and do all those things. But since year one, it has been bathed in prayer. And this year, I was expecting God to do something. And when we went in there that Sunday night and we prayed around that altar, and men, you could hear their voices start to get choked up about praying, because they knew, Brother Max, God was going to do something that week. God says, you have not because you... Folks, why don't we pray expecting God to do something? I wonder what we could have. Here we are. We see the church of God praying. They met together. You know, so many times we forget where God says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So many times we forget that what God's ability to do. There's never been a great revival breakout, Brother Nathan, that it wasn't bathed in prayer. Because when we serve God in our own abilities, we're serving God in vain. Because it is God that does the work. It is God that prepares the hearts. It's God that does all that. And I'm just fearful today that we have almost schedule God out of our church services and out of our soul winning and out of our bus ministries, and we're just going through the motions. And I want to take four things out of this portion of Scripture and just try to show you, just to be a help. But number one, the prayer of the church. And this was the response of the church to Peter's imprisonment. When they saw that Peter had been arrested and his fate was the same as James, you don't see anywhere here that they went to social media. And I understand that they didn't have social media, Brother Morris. But today, the modern day Christian, the first thing we do is we go to social media. We call the pastor. Will you pray for this? Will you do that? And you know, that's what the church family is for. We're to bear one another's burdens. But in the same token, so many times I believe, Brother Young, we just pass prayer off to everybody else and we go to worrying about the problem. But we see here the church took it up, and the church, they said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to get together and we're going to gather together and we're going to make intercessing prayer for Peter. They knew what they were supposed to do. And we understand the story that when Peter comes to the door, they're like, it can't be Peter. It's, you know, it's his guardian angel. It can't be him, you know, because let's face it, Max, we're flesh. And sometimes we don't expect God to do the things that we're supposed to do. But, you know, it's amazing. I'll share a little story with you. But, you know, we go through life and we tend to worry about things and get concerned about things and we forget the God that we serve. And here to find out this year, I had a man that I'd done work for years. And Brother Max, he reached out to me this February. He had inherited money and he wanted to give me money to pay my truck off. Well, I wasn't praying for that, Brother Morris, but my wife was. She wasn't praying for that exact situation. She was praying that God would provide a way for us to pay the truck off because it was our biggest burden, besides our house, obviously, but it was a big burden. It was a monthly burden. I've heard stories like this, Brother Morris, but it didn't happen to me. I mean, isn't that what happened right here in this portion of Scripture? The church is praying. They're praying. They're doing what they're supposed to do. They're not calling up everybody. They met together and they're praying. They're doing what they're supposed to do. In Ephesians 6:18 it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and it's capital S, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. The church's greatest weapon is prayer. It's prayer. Folks, listen, if we want to see the world change, let's start praying for the world.
Right.
You know, Nathan, you think about it. We just, I thank God for our last election. But you know, it took the 4 years prior to get people back on their knees.
Right.
It took the persecution for us to realize that we needed God to intervene. I think we got comfortable the 4 years prior to that. We started placing our confidence in a man and not our confidence in what God had for us. Let's not allow that to happen again. We shouldn't quit praying for our president. We should quit praying for our government. Listen, folks, we face times today that we are battling just straight wickedness.
Yes, right.
Just straight wickedness. The only thing that's going to change it is God Himself when He hears the pleading and the crying of His children. Think about that. We just need to get back to that place. Their prayers were persistent. Their prayers were unified. And their prayers were effective. James 5:16, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Prayer unleashes God's power. Brother Morris, I remember this when I was a newer Christian and my mom had just come down with some serious health things, and I was praying for her, Max, and I was praying for her, and I was praying for her, and her condition just wasn't changing. And I started getting frustrated with the whole situation, and I began to talk to a Christian brother friend of mine, and I was just explaining to him where I was, and he said, "Brother, your prayers might be the only thing keeping her alive." It doesn't mean you quit praying. You keep praying. You be persistent in that prayer. Sometimes God just wants to test our faith to see if we're doing it. Look at the piece of Peter. Peter's response to his imprisonment. The night before Peter was to be executed, look at it with me, he was sleeping. Sleeping. I don't know about you, Brother Young, but if you're getting ready, they're getting ready to cut my head off in the morning, I don't know I'm going to sleep. I had a hard time last night, Brother Gordon, sleeping just knowing I was preaching this morning. I got up at 3 o'clock this morning, Brother Max, and my mind just started going to everything I was had for this morning. In my mind, I started preaching in my mind. And that's preaching to God's people this morning. I wasn't getting my head cut off. Well, at least I hope not anyways. The way some of you are looking at it, I'm starting to worry about it. Max, you might have to get me out to the car when we leave here. Honestly, folks, it's like he was sleeping. He had a peace of God that passes all understanding. Just like Isaiah 26:3 says, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee." The Christian can have perfect peace when his mind is stayed on the Lord. I think your pastor is a perfect example of that, with what he is battling with his health, and he has just continued to stay the course. Amen. If you didn't know it, you wouldn't know it.
Right.
I mean, besides when he was going through some of his treatments and he was sick and so on, you wouldn't know it.
Amen.
That's a true testimony of somebody that's placing their trust in Christ. You know what, folks? Every one of us is going to die someday.
Yes,
right? As it is appointed unto man, once to die, right? Now here's the wonderful thing about it, Max, is if you're saved, you're a blood-bought child of God, when you die, you're going to be with the Lord. Absent from the body, be present with the Lord. What a wonderful thing to think about. Brother Young, there's nobody that's ever died and passed on to heaven that has seen our Savior's face, that has been in the glories of heaven, that would ever say, Brother Nate, I want to come back. Folks, when my dad died, I was holding his hand, rubbing his hand. I had gone home, got cleaned up. I came back, and I relieved my brother, and I'm holding my dad's hand at the side of the bed, and I'm rubbing his arm. And he had that death breathe, if anybody's ever experienced that when they've lost a loved one. And it's just... And I was rubbing his arm. I said, "It's okay, Pops. You can go home. You can go home." And all of a sudden, for the first time in an entire day, 18, 20 hours, his eyes opened for the first time. And he began to gaze across the ceiling, and he smiled. Poof, quit breathing. That made me excited about heaven. Peter's laying there. They're going to cut his head off in the morning. They're going to kill him. They're going to execute him. And he's sleeping. The angel of the Lord shows up. There's a light that shines into prison, and he's still sleeping. How many of you have ever turned the light on in the middle of the night and your spouse wasn't happy? I just leave lights on all the time. He's still sleeping. The angel of the Lord has to go up and hit him in the side to wake him up. "Get up, dummy. We're getting out of here." The chains fall off. I don't think Peter was expecting to get out. That's why he doubted it. He was like, for the longest time, he's like, "I'm just dreaming. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I still sit here. I get in my truck. I drove it down here last week to go down and put. I'm like, is this thing really paid off? We've always had a truck payment. That was, you know, because of working and this and that. We've always just traded trucks. I wasn't expecting it, Brother Max. But it happened. You know what? Peter wasn't expecting it either. He was sleeping. There was a peace. In John 14:27, God's peace is not the world's peace. He gives you peace that the world can't have. He gives you an expected end. He gives you that no matter what takes place here on earth, folks, we have a home in heaven if we've placed our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. What a wonderful thing. Thirdly, let's look at the prison break. God's response to Peter's imprisonment. The angel wakes up Peter. I already touched on that. His chains fall off. Peter gets dressed and he follows the angel out of the cell. Peter, being unsure if it was a dream, they get to the iron gate. They go through the first and second ward. They're going out of the prison. If you've ever been in a prison, you understand. Brother Morris, I remember the first time I went into the prison ministry. That's the day that I got called to preach, Brother Nathan. And when we walk through, you know, you go through the whole thing. You got to take half your stuff off, kick your shoes off. They check you. They wipe you down. They're checking your pants. And it always scared me, Brother Young, because like you go in to the prison, you shake these guys' hands and you're doing all this, you put your hands in your pocket. I'm thinking, man, if these guys have something on their hands and then they wipe my pants pockets, I'm in trouble here, you know. But you go in, you go through the checkout, then you go into a holding room, and then there's a set of doors. They're not iron gate doors, but they're doors you're not going to break through. And a prison guard comes down to get us, to take us back through a hallway, to go through another set of doors. And then they check our hand for a little thing with the light. Then they get ready and another guard meets us. But as soon as we walk through that first set of doors, it just dawned on me. You know, I was just zealous to serve the Lord. That's all it was, Brother Young. I just wanted to do something. And my brother-in-law said, hey, why don't you go to the prison ministry with us? I'm like, yeah, sure, sign me up. How you do it? He goes, well, you got to fill out this form. We get you cleared. Go in. So we go in. We walk through. And he goes, you're in. Look. And there's the fence with the razor wire. I'm like, ew, that's weird. I'm in. I hope they don't have lockdown and I can get out. You know what I mean? I didn't want to stay in there. I wanted to go in. I wanted to help some men. And I was just going to be there to maybe lead somebody to Christ. I didn't realize that day God was going to call me to preach. You just never know those things. But here was Peter. And they go through. They get to the iron gate and the gate opens. There's no man that opens a gate. The angel doesn't open the gate. The gate opens. You know why, folks? It was all God. It was God that sent the angel. It'll be God that answered the prayer, and it will be God that answers your prayers. We need to get to a place where we just get back to trusting God. God can do the unthinkable things, and he wants to, but how often do we pray believing that he can? How often? Think about it. We go through the motions. We pray. We do this. We do that. But how often do we really expect God to do that thing? Maybe you're here this morning. You're in a situation. You go, I have no idea how I'm getting out of here. This is going to take forever. Pray. Pray. Fourth, the proof of the answer of prayer. The people's response to the answer of prayer. Peter comes to Mary's house. The angel has left him. He's knocking on the door to get in. You think about it. Once Herod find out, he was gone. He was going to go after him. And here's Peter. He's out there. He's like, all of a sudden he comes to his senses. He's like, hey, the angel's not here anymore. This isn't a dream. I'm in the street. And he gets over to Mary's house and he starts, hello? Here comes Rhoda. It's Peter. Woo! She goes running back. And he's like, excuse me, I need to get in there. And he keeps knocking, he keeps knocking, he keeps knocking. He's persistent in his knocking. She runs back, she tells the people, and they're like, yeah, you're crazy, woman. He's not there. That's his angel. Who was it? It was Peter. God had done the unthinkable. He had proved to the church. They had a hard time believing that God had answered this prayer. As Christians, we need to pray expecting God to answer our prayers. The Bible says this in this portion of Scripture, but prayer was made. Folks, that is the key to seeing God do the unthinkable. Prayer has to be made. Prayer has to be made. Listen, if you pray before church service, just see what you get out of it compared to when you don't pray for it. In Matthew chapter 21, verse 2, God has promised to answer our prayers. How many of you have heard scripture verses where God promises to answer your prayers, right? He says, where two or three gather together, there am I in the midst. He says, you have not because you ask not. He says, you ask, you don't receive it because you ask what? Amiss. God gives us the promises. Folks, this book from cover to cover is God's breathed word, and it's His promises, not only for us just to read, to grow our faith, but to claim. And it's more than just whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. God wants us to claim His promises on prayer. Do we understand that? He wants us to claim the promises all through this book so we can live victorious. He doesn't want us to live in fear. He wants us to be always abounding and growing in the things of the Lord. And you know how we grow our faith? One of the greatest things is to see God answer our prayers. There's promises all through this Bible. Max, you texted me there a couple weeks ago and you said about you were going preaching. You were preaching out that morning and pray for you and this and that, and you were nervous. And it is good to be nervous. I'm nervous every time I preach. I'll be honest with you. This morning I was going through my messages. I was fine. We go to leave the house and I'm shaking like a leaf in the wintertime because I'm nervous. Because I don't want to be here, Brother Morris, in my own abilities. Do you remember what I texted you that morning? 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 6 and 7. It's a promise. Brother Snyder, it's a promise of God. If He called you to preach, He's going to be with you. He's going to turn you into another man. And He commands us that we're to do a certain thing. We're to prophesize with them. As God shows us things, we're to deliver those goods to people. And the thing about it is, you say, what are you telling us? That? Because it's a promise of God. All through the Bible, He gives us promises. In Matthew chapter 21, verse 22, He tells us to pray in faith, to believe in those prayers. In John chapter 14, verse 13, He says, asking in the name of Jesus. These are promises. He tells us He'll answer the prayer if we claim these promises. In Matthew 18, 19, when the Holy Spirit is united two or more in prayer at the same spot, He promises to answer that prayer. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 22, and keeping His commandments and doing the things that are pleasing in His sight, He promises to answer those prayers. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, being persistent in our prayer, He promises to answer our prayer. Folks, these are promises of God that He'll answer our prayers. Do we claim those promises? Any of those promises? I believe that if we claim any of those promises, God cannot lie.
Right. Amen.
Brother Young, I can tell you I'm going to do something, back out on it. I can break commitments. God can't. God can't. That's the thing. God wants to answer our prayers. He wants to give us, and I believe that He has given us many doors and promises for us to claim concerning our prayers. Any one of these promises claimed, I believe, is enough for us to see God answer our prayers. What an amazing story that we read about here in the Bible. If you really think about it, Brother Morris, what do you think it would do to the prison if you guys had 16 guys around one cell and a guy is bound in chains and all of a sudden he's gone?
Right.
Think about what happened, folks. It's not a fairy tale.
Right.
How's your prayer life this morning? How's your prayer life? You say, Brother Rex, we're ready for a pastor to get back already. How about just pray for me for the morning service? Maybe God will do something.
Amen. Good.
It doesn't matter, folks. We just need the prayer. You know what? God can do so many amazing things and show us so many amazing things in our life if we're just bathed in prayer and claim His promises. Let's see what God will do. Let's just get faithful and get serious about our prayer life and understand that God can do things that we can't ever imagine that He could do. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I thank You for this time. Thank You for the ones that have come out. God, I thank You for prayer. God, I thank You for... God, if we're just come to You believing and claiming Your promises, God, how You can do so many things that we couldn't imagine or think. But God, Lord, so many times we get so worried and fret about so many things. And God, we just need to believe that You have a purpose and a time and a will, and You want to answer those prayers. God, maybe You're just waiting for us to come to You in those prayers. God, I pray that You be with us in the morning service. I pray, God, if there be any that's not saved, God, I pray that You'd save them here today. God, I pray that You'd encourage and direct and guide and just, Lord, bless this day. And we're thankful for all the fathers in Jesus' name. Amen.